Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, time was when someone would go into a butcher shop and ask for a specific part of a heifer. And many of those are parts today we wouldn't dream of eating. The shin, say. But writing in The Independent, the farmer and journalist Hannah Quinn Mulligan argues that we should educate ourselves. Afternoon, Hannah.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
You have a farm shop. What bits of cows do you sell?
Yeah, we sell all the normal bits like that you'd be used to. So we have burgers, very, very popular, T-bone steaks, sirloin steaks. But I guess the whole thing was, like, in the shop we sell organic milk and we sell ice cream, and that's all very popular. But people were asking for beef. And so we got one of our own heifers killed. And it's quite hard because you have to find, like, a local abattoir. You can't just go to a big beef factory like you normally would. And then, of course, the butcher turns to you and says, OK, well, what cuts do you want? And I realized that even as a farmer and someone who likes eating beef, I didn't really know any of the cuts myself.
Oh.
And then it turned out that a lot of the customers didn't know a lot of the cuts as well, because we're traditionally dry aging the heifer. So the butcher says, OK, well, if people want certain cuts, tell them to pre-order them now before I standardize the cuts. But it was really the older customers, but not to stereotype, but particularly the older women, who knew their cuts of beef. So they wanted T-bone steaks, but they didn't want them in steaks form. They wanted them in a roast form. So it's like a T-bone roast, which looked amazing. And it looked really good. And then as well, they wanted rib roast, but rib roast on the bone. And I didn't even know that there was a difference, that you get rolled rib roast or rib roast on the bone and all these kind of things. But we have a cookery book that's about 100 years old, and I was looking through it, and, you know, there was so much more diversity, and people were getting such better use out of an animal. You know, they were using the liver, for example. They were using the shins, like you mentioned. And it wasn't just the expensive cuts, you know, and that's what puts people off. They think that it's going to be really expensive to get, like, rib roast on the bone, and it would be, but you don't necessarily have to. You get the cheaper cuts and they'd be just as good slow cooked in a slow cooker. And we're all obsessed with slow cookers now.
Yeah. Can you even get them anymore, though? I suppose that's the point, given that there's no demand for them.
Exactly. Well, they kind of should be as well, because, you know, we're all concerned about the cost of living. And say my grandmother now went rooting around the freezer for the last heifer that we'd killed on the farm, and she found a shin. And I was kind of looking at her going, a shin? Like, seriously, what on earth are you going to do with a shin? But she slow cooked it in our slow cooker for about 7 hours. And oh my God, it was delicious. Like, she just threw in some onions whole with it, and the whole thing was mouthwatering. And, like, I'd be one of these people, like, I have no issue with people eating less meat. You know, this whole thing about farmers and climate change and everything like that, I've absolutely no issue with you eating less beef, but I'd love you to eat, you know, better quality meat, or I'd love you to eat, you know, come to the farm shop or support your local farmer and ask for the bits that people don't normally want, or that a big beef factory wouldn't pay me for. Mm. You know, they wouldn't pay me for, you know, the liver of an animal or the tongue of an animal. And yet we export the Irish beef tongues to places like Japan, where they eat them, and the Japanese market will pay them, but your average farmer won't get paid for it.
Those bits of the animal that people don't ask for anymore, they're put to some use, if you like. They're not just thrown away.
Not always. No, they go into your dog food, or they get exported to markets like Japan or on the continent where they will eat them. You know, like France and Italy, the consumer is much more literate in bits of an animal that are cheap and tasty. And ideally, you know, if we could get a bit more literate in that, if we could pick up our 100-year-old cookery books, you know, we might save a lot of money and support our local farmer as well, which would be brilliant.
How is shin served? Is there a piece of the bone on your plate, or how does that work?
Like, it actually is a bit like beef, like getting a side of roast beef or something like that, weirdly, in that it does just go, well, for us anyway, you can get it sliced. You can ask for it sliced for your butcher to slice it, or you could just get it whole and put it in your slow cooker, like I said, with some onions, and slow cook it for a couple of hours, and then the meat just falls off, and it's very, very tender. You know, it'd be delicious in stews, any kind of beef stew or goulash or anything like that. You know, and you could feed your family on it really easily, and it's delicious.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, though, is that even, you know, if and you can see the logic of what you're saying, is really part of the problem here is that we've all got a bit too fancy and maybe a bit better off, so that, you know, there's more tendency to go for the more expensive cuts. And so therefore we've just forgotten about those, the other parts of an animal.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think we have kind of an innate snobbery in that we don't want to look poor. I mean, like, I'm from Limerick and I have this this image in my head from Angela's Ashes where the pig head is put on the table, and that was all they could afford. And yet I think really, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, that like we still have that legacy that we're very scared of looking poor. And that's what put us off eating all of these bits of beef in the first place. But now we've got to the stage where we haven't eaten them in so long that we don't even know what to do with them. So we think that when we eat beef, we can only get really expensive cuts or burgers. And that's not the case. You know, we if we dug around a little bit, we could feed ourselves much better.
Yeah. One texter says, I used to buy kidney to make steak and kidney pie, but my local butcher said the abattoir won't go to the cost and trouble of taking them out and labelling them. So they send them as dog food.
Yeah, I know. And that's such a shame, because all that type of food is really good for you. You know, like, now I have to say, I haven't worked my way up, but there's liver. We're selling liver in the farm shop and a couple of people are buying it, and it's only a fiver. You know, it's not really expensive or anything like that. And thankfully, you know, our abattoir and our local butcher did to take it out for us, and we have it labelled and everything. I mean, I'd chop around a little bit. You know, you will find someone who'll do it for you, or who'll get it for you. You know, we have the beef cheek, we have the tongue, we have the heart, and we have all of that. You know, and there are actually people looking for it. You know, there are people out there who are trying to get a bit more literate in it and want it, which is brilliant. And I as a farmer, I love that, because I'd hate to, you know, I've seen this animal born and bred on my farm, and I'd hate for any element of her to go to waste or not be used. You know, you want it to be for something.
Yeah. In mints, though, is there offal, or what we refer to as offal, does that go into the mints, or are they even picky about that now?
Not as far as I know of. But what I did have was, I had a customer who was interested in eating offal, but kind of like me and probably like a lot of people, you know, found it a bit hard to stomach. You know, it's a very distinct taste. So what they asked for was that it would be minced, and that it'd be added to normal mince, so that it'd kind of be an 80-20% sort of ratio, so that they could make bolognese or, you know, chili con carne or something like that, and that they wouldn't necessarily notice it, but that they'd be getting their offal, their shot of offal in there as well, which was a good idea.
Yeah, delicious. And one of our listeners, Kev, says roast stuffed heart. Very tasty. Used to be a treat for us in the 1970s. Maybe some Angel Delight or Instant Whip for pudding. That was, do mind your Michelin star. That's proper eating now. Hannah, thanks a million. That's Hannah Quinn Mulligan there, the farmer and journalist.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.